The burglar operated for many years, committing approximately 1,000 burglaries at the rate of one a week. He wore flannel over his shoes to muffle his footsteps. His ability to avoid detection and capture by the police was, for many years, the subject of media sensationalism, and they coined his unique nickname. This is the story of Flannel Foot. Hi, and welcome back to the Historical Crimes and Criminals podcast. As always, I'm Steve, your host. For anyone who's ever been the victim of burglary, it often leaves the house owner feeling violated and unsafe. They are generally, nowadays, perpetrated by drug addicts looking for small disposable valuables and have scant regard for human feelings. The only positive is they are generally unsophisticated, as we see from a story from Wales in 2018 where burglar Jamie Simmons was caught after getting peckish during the robbery and munched on a block of cheese. His DNA was enough to ensure a conviction. However, burglary, like many types of crime, if you separate it with a time span of perhaps 50 or 100 years, these criminals can become almost like E.W. Hornbung's gentleman burglar Raffles, who first appears in 1898, with the nostalgia and criminal ingenuity almost masking the crime. Hornbung was incidentally the brother-in-law of Arthur Conan Doyle. In today's episode, we'll look at two burglars who operated in the early half of the 20th century. Around Easter 1938, a spate of burglaries occurred around Essex. Over the next 15 months, 116 homes were raided in Romford, Hornchurch, as well as Barking, Goodmayes, Ilford and Seven Kings. Two police forces hunted for the housebreaker. The Essex Constabulary upheld the law in Havering, but west of Chadwell Heath, the Met was in control. They had the Britain's finest detective team, but Scotland Yard were baffled too. The thief forced window catches or prized open fan lights. Often the gap was so small that police initially assumed it was a Fagin operation, a burglar using a child to gain entry. But stray sightings soon established that this was an elasticated criminal working alone. A cool operator, he smoked cigarettes and even made himself meals as he robbed people's homes. The cinema sensation of 1934 had been a crime movie, The Thin Man, starring the glamorous Myron Arloy. The nickname was applied to the mystery criminal. The police searched for fingerprints and footprints, but the thin man operated in stockinged feet and wore gloves. And of course, there was no DNA or CCTV. He caused Essex CID many a sleepless night too. Romford Divisional Chief Detective Inspector Baker tried to second guess the thin man's next move. Detectives patrolled a different area each night, but whenever they were there, in the southern half of the district, a burglary would occur in the Northern Territory. One night, the police received a hot tip and threw a cordon around three houses where an intruder had been spotted. The houses were searched, but somehow the phantom thief had melted away. but there was one other clue about the thin man. He liked animals. Breaking into a house in Goodmayes, he disturbed a barking puppy, but unperturbed, he picked the dog up, gave it some milk, and put it out in the garden. But that humanising weakness triggered his downfall. But the lucky break that the police so desperately needed came early one summer morning. Francis Rutland, who lived in Glanville Drive, Hornchurch, opened his bedroom curtains to check the weather. Across the gardens, he was startled to see an unknown man ushering a kitten out at the back door of a neighbour's house. The kitten, it seemed, had meowed to be let out. Mr. Rutland rang the police, luck again, for in 1939, few people had a phone. And swooping on the house, officers found the burglar seated on a settee, examining a handbag in his gloved hands. He had left his shoes on the lawn outside. The intruder was carrying loot from four previous burglaries overnight. Tall and slender, Alfred Simmons readily admitted he was the thin man. Age 31 and born in Belfast, he had three previous convictions. Prosecuting counsel at his trial called him an artist in the burglary line. But Simmons wasn't driven to crime by poverty, it was a lifestyle choice. He was a skilled printer with good employer references. He'd been a lecturer in a technical college and had worked on a cruise liner producing the ship's newspaper. In retrospect, Simmons probably should have been caught sooner. His bushy hair and figure made him easy to identify. He reconnoitred the houses he'd planned to burgle, sometimes even knocking at the door and pretending to ask for directions so he could check the window fastenings. It counted in his favour that Simmons had never used violence and he'd cooperated with the police after his arrest. He was therefore sentenced to 21 months imprisonment with hard labour. In the Met Police's Crime Museum is exhibited a pair of shoes attached to stilts. As burglars can easily be traced from footprints left at the scene of the crime, one enterprising thief, whose rather large size 12 shoes made him instantly identifiable, came up with a clever plan to confuse the police. The man made a pair of false feet in a smaller size and mounted them onto a wooden stilt to leave footmarks behind that didn't point the finger of suspicion immediately at him. But on one outing, he left his real footprints behind as he put on his false feet at the house he was breaking into, and he was caught. In the early 20th century, a burglar had caught the police and media's attention after a string of robberies. Hounslow, September 1921, the press reported that Flannel Foot, as he is known by the police, has broken into the house of a prominent local singer at Hounslow and stolen, amongst other things, his false teeth. He stole socks and gloves, which he evidently wore over his boots and hands, and then discarded later. Isleworth, March 1922. Newspapers report that a Hounslow burglar, known locally as Flannelfoot, raided house in Islet Road, Isleworth. He took money from gas meters and a handbag, but left a child's money box unopened, despite moving it. Flannelfoot padded his feet with a napkin and overall from the first house and then left them in the last house. He's also reported to have eaten out a laid out wedding breakfast. November 1922, a report in November of further break-ins in Isleworth, where gas meters were robbed, attributed to Flannelfoot. By this point, the newspapers attributed almost every crime to Flannelfoot, and he caught the public's imagination. Sales of raffles soared during this period. Harrow, October 1923. A report of several burglaries in the Harrow district over several weeks. Thefts were mostly money and small articles. In some cases, he ate food, and in several of the cases, a bicycle was stolen. Entry was gained in most cases by drilling a hole in the scullery or kitchen window frame to insert a wire and lift the hatch. Kenton, November 1923, a report of burglaries and one night in Carlton Avenue, attributed to Flannelfoot. Small articles and loose money were taken, and a hearty meal made in one of the houses. And so the burglaries continued over the years. May 1927, a report of 8 burglaries at Kenton Park Crescent, believed to be a burglar known as Flannelfoot, due to the method of entry and items stolen. All houses had a hole drilled in the kitchen casement window from which the fastener was opened. Items stolen were mainly money, small items of jewellery, and food. Baby clothes were removed from a line and discarded later, evidently for the purpose of binding his feet. As the 1920s moved to the 1930s, Flannelfoot was still uncaught, and the papers and the public cried, "Who is he? And why is he not being caught?" Cheam, March 1931, a report that Scotland Yard are baffled by Flannelfoot, a mysterious burglar who's been operating in London and the suburbs for a number of years. He wraps his feet in flannels, enters by boring a hole in a window to release the cash, and sometimes steals a bicycle. He is believed to have been recently active in Cheam. Ponder's End, October 1936. Flannelfoot, the modern Raffles, claims Western Daily Press headline. A report that a case of housebreaking at Lincoln's Inn, Ponder's End, is interesting in Scotland Yard, as it may have been committed by Flannelfoot. Orpington, December 1936. A report that 4 houses in Repton Road, Orpington, were burgled. Only small amounts of money and a bicycle was taken, and Flannelfoot, the notorious raider, who's escaped arrest for years, is suspected. Harlington, March 1937. A report states that 5 houses were burgled in the new Wimpey estate, and is it Flannelfoot? Details are given for each burglary, small amounts of money, contents of a meter, and a cycle. Southall, October 1937. More burglaries at Southall were reported in Allenby Road, and police believe Flannelfoot is responsible. 4 houses were broken into, and about £5 stolen in total. Stories about Flannelfoot were a newspaperman's dream, and he continued to capture the public's attention and imaginations. But sometimes the stories were fanciful and factually inaccurate. An article about Flannelfoot reported the criminal who's eluded the police for 25 years. Its state specifically selected Scotland Yard's officers are working on the Flannelfoot operation, and they believe there is more than one burglar, and that Flannelfoot has probably trained others. In June 1936, a report of a telephone call to Witchmore Hill Police Station, supposedly from the burglar Flannelfoot, who said, "I'm going to Brighton for a spell, so you needn't worry until I return, and I will let you know." His myth inspired people, and in January 1937, a report that 6 boys appeared at Manchester Juvenile Court for 39 cases of house and shop breaking. They'd left a note signed Flannelfoot in one house. And then Flannelfoot was caught. The man they had caught was Harry Edward Vickers. He was born in Reading in 1888 and had worked as a butcher. During World War I, he served as a rifleman in the Rifle Brigade from July 1916 to July 18 on active service in France and Flanders. He sustained a serious leg injury that prevented him from serving and was awarded the Silver War Badge along with the Victory Medal and the British War Medal. He wore flannel over his shoes to muffle his footstep, and that's what earned him his nickname. Surprisingly, the police had suspected Vickers since 1934, but were unable to catch him red-handed. He was eventually arrested for being in possession of housebreaking implements at night, having been followed from his home. He would use rags or cloth taken from the houses he'd burgled and use them to muffle his footsteps. He would also steal and later discard a bicycle as part of his getaway. The rags were also discarded. Upon finding these items, police were able to attribute the crime to Flannelfoot with confidence. And so, in December 1937, it was announced that Flannelfoot had been arrested and was to be tried at Middlesex Sessions. Harry Edward Vickers, aged 49, described as a clerk of Royal Crescent, Holland Park, pleaded guilty at Middlesex Sessions today of four charges of breaking and entering dwelling houses in the London area. One charge of burglariously breaking out of house at Motson Park, and one charge of possessing housebreaking implements at night in Ruislip. Vickers subsequently pleaded guilty to 34 other charges and wished to have them taken into consideration. He was sentenced to 5 years penal servitude. It was reported Vickers, a smartly dressed man, smiled in the dock as he pleaded guilty. In his favour, it was said, obviously he's been acting as a professional cash burglar for a great many years, but he's never used violence, he's never caused undue damage, and he's never so much as frightened a single individual. Vickers served his sentence, and he died on the 9th of December, 1942. Age 54. Well, that's it for another episode of the Historical Crimes and Criminals podcast. I've been Steve, your host. Please subscribe, leave a review, and follow me on Twitter, where you'll see pictures from today's case. And until next time, bye-bye.